We are in that season when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His birth is told in Matthew, very briefly, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24, but in much more detail in Luke with the angel Gabriel coming to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then there's the birth of Jesus, which is told in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And that's the beginning of the story, which to this very minute changes the lives of every man, woman, and child who hears, accepts, and embraces it. Or is it? A lot of the New Testament verses refer to Jesus as being born of the Virgin Mary. The Old Testament presents to us, as well as the religious leaders of that time, a foretelling of that birth. Let's turn first to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Staying in Isaiah, let's move back to Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." Now you might be saying, wait a minute there. It says there that the kid will be called Emmanuel. Well, what does Emmanuel mean? It means God is with us. And this truth is repeated in the New Testament, with the story of the birth of Jesus is told, as I said, in the book of Matthew, reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, God is with us. Now you're saying, okay, hold on. Why did the angel Gabriel tell Mary and Joseph to name the baby Jesus and not Emmanuel? This is because the name Jesus translates to "the Lord saves," or if you wish, "God is salvation." While Emmanuel establishes who the child is, the name Jesus establishes why he will walk among us. In fact, back in the first century, Jesus, or Yeshua, was a rather common name, which is why the Jesus of the Bible is referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. The Old Testament also gives us this prophecy about the birth of Jesus. This is Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." The significance of that prophecy is the reference Bethlehem Ephrathah. You see, there are two Bethlehems in Israel, one in the Galilee region versus the Bethlehem of Jesus' birth, which was also the hometown, by the way, of King David, who by lineage was an ancestor of the human Jesus. Now, but if we bring in the three wise men into this picture, yes, there's a prophecy about them as well. It's found in Psalm chapter 72, verses 8 through 11. "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. the kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. Now this brings about two important lessons. First, religious leaders and elders back in the time of the birth of Jesus, they knew the Old Testament and the prophecies very well. Yet when the birth of Jesus happened, where were they? It was only the wise men who came to honor the birth of our Savior. Second, I've talked about this before. There are churches who all but dismiss, even turn away from the Old Testament. They do this in their teachings, when they give out Bibles. You've probably seen them, the pocket Bibles. They only contain the New Testament. Maybe the book of Psalms, but more often not. The absence of that part of the truth leaves you lacking the total truth and the only way to a total understanding. So ask yourself these questions. Why would you want an incomplete understanding of what Christmas means? Why would you want an incomplete understanding of what the arrival of our Savior Jesus Christ means? In the days ahead, as you rejoice and celebrate with family and friends, I pray that you also rejoice in what the arrival of Jesus Christ means, not just yesterday, but today. Find comfort in His love. Find strength in His Word. Find guidance in His teachings. Find direction in His wisdom. Even if times are challenging for you, Jesus will bring you to joy and relief no matter what's pressing down on you. Ask of Him, and He will bless you. I wish you a very blessed and Merry Christmas.